Thank you. So for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called, a whole bunch of names. We've got some names, some blanks to fill in up here over the next few weeks, haven't we still? So we've got one down last week, Wonderful Counselor by Paul. And what was the Hebrew for Wonderful Counselor? Can anyone recall? Pele. Yoad. Oh, excellent. Very good. Some Hebrew scholars there. So tonight our word is Mighty God, which is El Gabor. We won't talk too much about that. I just had to come up with that because Paul set the standard, the benchmark, so I needed to come up with it. Who has read the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Excellent. So it's a popular story. Bug, what happens in that story? Absolutely. And he's associated with Santa Claus, isn't he? And he leads that sleigh out. And in the sleigh, what do we have? Toys. That's right, presents, a whole bunch of stuff. Who likes Christmas? A few hands are going up. It's good. It is really good. I enjoyed Christmas for a long time. And then I got into my mid-20s, and I didn't really enjoy Christmas much anymore. Because it was just, you got together, which is kind of good, and you had food and presents, and you spent time with family, which is nice, but it was just something missing. And then we had kids towards our late 20s, and that brought a whole new life to Christmas for me. Because we had the little kids there opening their presents and their excitement and getting up really early on Christmas Day. Who still gets up really early on Christmas Day? No, sleep in, good on you. Oh, I see that hand, Jacob. Yeah, that's right. So Christmas is good fun and exciting. But it can be a bit hollow too. And I guess to have a magnificent Christmas, we need more than just a traditional Christmas, don't we? We need something that changes and gives it life. And to give it life, we need to think about what Christmas comes from. And we don't want to take the Christ out of Christmas. And so we're going to have a look at that tonight with our word, Mighty God. Mighty God. You know, I was thinking about that. Mighty God. What's that really mean? Christ will be called Wonderful Counselor, so Advisor. Yeah, okay. Christ will be called Mighty God. So we're going to have a bit of an exercise. I need an engineer scrutineer tonight. So Megan, do you mind coming up and giving me a hand, please? And Julie will give you a mic on the way through. How's that sound? Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Megan, because I didn't let her know before. And Megan, you need to pick one male and one female to assist us as well.
Ooh. What about Gracie and James?
Come on up, team. Give them a big hand. Now, James knows what's happening, so he's a bit wired for this already. So that's pretty good. Now, we've got a reading here. Do you want to just read that out for us one time?
Yes. So Isaiah 40:12. Power of God and the vanity of idols. Who has measured with his palm the waters, marked off the heavens with the span, held in his fingers the dust of the earth, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance.
Excellent. Now, Gracie, I'll get you to come and stand on this side for me, darling. That's good. And James just on the other corner for me. Wonderful. So, what's the first line for us again, please, Megan?
Who has measured with his palm the waters?
All right. So, measured the palms with his waters. So, I've got a measuring jug here, which we'll get our scrutineer to check in a moment. Now, what's that line say? Where's he measure it, the water?
With his palm.
With his palms, all right. So, Grace, you're going to get two hands and you're going to fill it with as much water as you can and you're going to put it into our jug for us. Yeah, let's do one more, eh? Good. Yeah, big hand on that one. Well done. Now, would you like to check how much we got in there, please, Megan?
I will. What measuring?
Well, you can determine that because you're far better at me than.
Oh, okay. Let's say 120 mils?
120 mils, excellent. Righto. That's a bucket I prepared earlier. James, palms of your hands again. So one, yeah, two. We've got to keep it fair. Ginger equity. Nice.
Check it again. Got to wait till it stops moving. Say 140 mils?
Okay, what was our first one again? So 140 mils, what was our first measurement?
120.
120, okay. So both of you, what was our first line again, Megan?
Who has measured with his palm the waters?
Okay, so God has measured all the waters with his palms. Now just think about that. Have we got a picture of an ocean? Wonderful. So an ocean is a big space, isn't it? And if God is big enough to create the galaxy, he can hold all the oceans in the palm of his hand. He can hold all the oceans in the palm of his hand. We're getting about 120, 140 mil. All right. What's our next line then, Megan, please?
Marked off the heavens with a span.
Marked off the... Now, I tried this morning. So take your finger and your thumb and put them together. Put them over your eye. And then just gently spread it so you can see through it. And then look up at the ceiling and see if you can fit the whole ceiling in between your thumb and your finger. We'll get a picture of the sky up there too, please. Can't do it, can you? It's just extraordinary. What was that line again, Megan?
Marked off the heavens with a span.
Marked off the heavens with a span. So marked off the heavens with... So God, Creator, marked off the heavens with a span. All the seas in his palm, marked off the heavens with a span. What's our next one?
Held in his fingers the dust of the earth.
Held in his fingers the dust of the earth. Now, there's a commentary called Matthew Henry, or written by Matthew Henry, and he said that was three fingers. So pick up three fingers. Oh, I didn't get this right this morning, Megan, so I just need to tear the weight. Yep, good. All right, three fingers then. James, pick up the dust. Was that three fingers? All right, let's measure it and see what it measures, James.
A whole zero.
Okay, good.
Go for the rock.
Right, Grace. Big three fingers. Nice. Measure it, Grace. You put it on there.
We got a whole 2 grams this time.
Yeah! All right. Let's go to the next slide. So what did he say about this dust?
Held in his fingers the dust of the earth.
Man, 2 grams compared to a whole dust of the earth in three fingers. This is God we're talking about. How amazing and extraordinary that is, isn't it? What's our last one then?
Weighed the mountain in scales and the hills in a balance.
Okay, well I brought some mountains with me. And who are we up to going first this time? Grace, all right, Grace. So you can take out some mountains. One handful of mountain, please. Yep, put it in your bucket.
We have 157 grams.
157.
See if you can do that.
Oh, it's a competition, is it?
Why not?
Yeah, now he's got... Put it on the scale, James.
Good work, James. So we got... 343 grams.
Hey, nice one. So how much was yours, Grace? 100 and something, 300 and something. What's our line say then, Megan?
Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance.
Weighed mountains in a balance, hills in a scale. Just amazing, isn't it? God, the mighty God. Well, give these guys a big hand. Thank you. You can take a seat, guys. Thanks, Megan. You know, we need to think of God in different concepts. Just sometimes we bring God into little spaces, don't we? For some reason we bring God into little spaces. And tonight, I guess, as we consider his name, Mighty God, El Gabor, we need to think about what that means. So, Mighty God, we're talking about the Son born as a baby in Bethlehem, Mighty God. And we use mighty in a strange word. Mighty doesn't mean a lot, does it? Mighty leader, mighty coach, mighty parent, mighty son, mighty daughter, mighty powerful. And sometimes we don't think about what's happening behind that word, do we? Mighty God. So this little baby at Bethlehem was the Mighty God. It says this here in John 1:3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So that's Jesus they're talking about there. Through him all things were made. So Jesus wasn't some human just created to do a job. Jesus was God who held all the oceans in his hand, who picks up all the dust of the earth in three fingers, who can hold the span of the heavens. Jesus, the Mighty God. Colossians 1:16-17 tells us this: for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So Christ had the beginning as a baby, didn't he? God, who has no beginning, constrained to human time and form as a baby, was born at Christmas time. Can we begin to grasp what that means? It's extraordinary, isn't it? The God creator of the universe constrained himself to be born into humanity, into the brokenness, and took the form of a baby at Christmas time, just over 2,000 years ago. God came down as man. 1 Peter 3:22 says this about Jesus, that he's gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. So that Jesus has power and authority over angels and spirit things. It goes on in Matthew 28:18, and it says this: then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. This is the Christ in Christmas. This is the significance behind what we're doing at Christmas time. Who's heard of the word Advent here? Anyone? A few have. All right, so Advent is that season beginning at the beginning of December, right through to Christmas. And if some of you may have had a more traditional religious background, you may have done candles and readings for Advent as well. And since I've been doing that myself, I've found it's really increased my joy and excitement at Christmas time, because I've read the story of the God-man being born. In the lead-up to Christmas, I'm reading a bit more about what's happening. I'm reading how he was called to be Wonderful Counselor, how he was called to be Mighty God. And it brings a new life, a new enthusiasm for me into the Christmas message. Hebrews 1:3 tells us this: the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Just let me read that one more time. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And sometimes it's hard for us to grasp this, that God, when we say God, it's three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, living in perfect communion with each other. Each having a unique role as God, one person. Jesus wasn't an afterthought or came after. Jesus was always part of God. And God, an enormous, mighty, powerful, created the universe, created us. Why? Because his heart was so full of love, her heart was so full of love, that God created humanity, that God created the galaxy, that God might invite us into communion with themselves. That God might help us to enjoy relationship, to expand that blessing. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Just extraordinary. And so we have the Son is a radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, those were claims that were made by Jesus. They were claims that were made by his disciples. Here we see Isaiah giving us a prophecy, which means he's saying this is to come and to be. And it was manifested in Jesus. But what evidence then do we have? Matthew 7:29 says this, he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. They were so amazed when they heard Jesus talk about the truth and the reality of life. They said, this guy is totally different to our religious teachers of the day. He actually knows what he's talking about. He spoke with authority. Hands up here if you ever recognised truth. Have you ever recognised truth? You know what? There's something, sometimes we have a bit of confusion in our world today where truth becomes relative. One of the things that I like to do in my spare time is to work with horses. And I enjoy the relationship I can have with a horse. And one of the things, as I've been working for lots of years with horses, realising that there's a psychology to working with a horse. That if you do certain things which seem unusual, then they will always respond in the same way. Because it's a truth of their character, it's a truth of their behaviour. It's not something that changes over time, it's always the same. For instance, now, is Emily here tonight? She's got horses, hasn't she? Is Adrian here? Who else has got horses here tonight? Now, how do you catch a horse in the paddock, Adrian? Sorry? Apples, okay. Okay, the old tempting trick. Can be unreliable. They can come very close and then turn around and bolt the other way. One of the truths I've found to make my catch my horses and teach them early on is to chase them. Seems kind of logical. But if you chase them, it works on the principle of comfort and discomfort. So horses love comfort. If you ever watch a horse in the paddock, they always collect together because they like the comfort and they're quite curious. So you chase a horse away and every time it doesn't come to you, you keep chasing it away. And eventually what it does is turns around and looks at you and you stop and you give it comfort. And if you teach it that over time, it'll just follow you around the paddock all the time. So every time you walk out, you just give it a flick and it'll turn around and come and walk beside you and follow you around. And that's just a part of horse behaviour. It's a truth. Just as Christ was a truth here and people recognised truth. In Matthew 8, 26 and 27, we read about Jesus calming a fierce storm and he says this, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Amazing picture again, isn't it? How cool would that be? Jesus is asleep in a boat, winds and rain and storm blowing, and they wake Jesus up and say, "We're going to die." And Jesus said, "Hang on, wind, be at peace. Ocean, still." And it did. Now, think about that. This is just not a funny story. This is a real observation from eyewitnesses that spent time with Jesus. How amazing was Jesus? God in human form. You would expect that from God, wouldn't you? And you're seeing it in the evidence of Jesus. John the Baptist had a bit of a hard time and he was in prison. So he sent some of his followers because he heard the stuff that Jesus was doing. And he said, "Go and find out whether this is the Messiah." And so they came and they asked him, "Are you the one who's come? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus said this, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Sound like God on earth? You know, I think of that beautiful woman that was healed in the crowd. She just touched Jesus' cloak and healed. The blind man crying out on the side of the street, "Jesus, healed." Paul with his hamstring, if Jesus was here with him, he'd just say, "Jesus, hamstring fixed." Extraordinary, isn't it? Here we have lots of stories, eyewitness accounts of God in flesh. Just amazing. The miracles of Jesus validate his claims and reveal his power. You know, we were babysitting some friends' kids last night and we watched a couple of movies. Now, has anyone seen Sinbad at all? The Disney movie at all? Or no one's going to admit to it? Okay. There's another movie called The Iron Giant. Has anyone ever seen The Iron Giant? It's a little bit more obscure. Anyway, in both these movies, first of Sinbad, his mate's going to be accused of something, of stealing something, and is put on the death penalty. And Sinbad comes back to put his own head on the block. The Iron Giant is confronted with his own destruction by saving humanity from an atomic bomb. And Jesus actually did the same thing. He really, not just a cartoon, he actually put his life on the line for humanity. He transformed and changed the whole of humanity in his death. And what came after his death? His resurrection. How extraordinary was that? This is the God-man, the baby born in Bethlehem. So we see that his nature is of God. His actions were of God. And so we get that picture of a helpless baby born into a manger. Was actually the Creator God constrained into that form of a baby. The mighty God, El Gabor. Extraordinary. A great story, an exciting story, a happy news story, a story that puts the Christ in Christmas. And for all of us here that follow Jesus, we know it is life transforming. It is a solution to living a full and complete life because Jesus shows us how to do humanity to all its potential. And that's what Christmas is about. God come into human form to reconcile and save us to himself again. That circle of communion that God invites us into, that all we need to do is to believe, receive, and change our way of thinking that we might enter into relationship with him. And as we view the cross, we think of his death and his resurrection. At Christmas time, it's even more poignant, as it is at Easter time, to think about the risen Christ. We're going to have communion shortly. It's down the front here on the piano and the table to my left, and then down the back as well. But before we do that, I've got a song which a number of you may be familiar with to share. And just to give us a little bit more time to reflect on the God-man Jesus. After the song's finished, I'll pray, and then you're free to take part in communion. Let's have a look at that clip. Let's talk to God. Heavenly Dad, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We think of these emblems upon the table, the bread and the wine, that you very self said to do in remembrance of you, remembering your death and your resurrection, and at this time of the year, remembering your birth. God come in human flesh. So for those of us that love you and take these emblems tonight, might we just get a deeper sense of who you are in your loving name. Amen.